Thank you, Brother Lawrence. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. And thank you for inviting the choir to come over. I'm very proud of these young people. They not only are good singers, but they have good testimony as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to spend just a moment to try to introduce you or tell you a little bit about it, and I'm sure Brother Reggie Rimple, as he preaches this morning, will talk with you a little more about it, and then, of course, the DVD. And the purpose of that is that we're not trying to parade ourselves of being anything or anyone, but there's a need for the gospel to go into all the world by commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we kind of liken it unto this, now don't be offended by what I'm saying. I kind of blunt with how I approach things, and I've been rebuked on many occasions for being so, but I'm going to do it one more time this morning, all right? So bear with me. I liken this unto my wife and my children, that if I were taking care of another woman and her children in another state somewhere, what would you think of me, and how would you treat me, and how would it actually be in your eyes? I know what you would do. Any of you men worth your salt would gather me up and give me a good horse whipping and get my philosophies on life straightened out. That's what you need to do for me. Well, Jesus said to go into all the world and take the gospel to every creature. And I often see that there are some tendencies on the hearing church's part to overlook home missions. Now, I realize we could take all our money and give it to home mission, but we've been commanded to go into all the world. And since that commandment's been given, we ought to be taking it to every creature in the entire world. Now, the deaf community in the United States only consists of about somewhere around 20, 25 million. I'm talking about deaf and hard of hearing alike. But there is a group of people in this country that is an unreached people. And I think it is somewhere around in this percentage mark, I can't nail it down to exact numbers, but about 92% of the deaf and hard of hearing in this country have not been told about Jesus either. That's a large number of people. Matter of fact, I believe it was Ted Camp or one of the others, been in a deaf ministry for some about 40 years, said the largest unreached group of people in America are the deaf community. And we are at Harvest Baptist Church training men and women as these right here. There's a young evangelist and his wife right there that are in preparation and shortly be going out taking the gospel, starting deaf churches around the United States and the other parts of the world. And there's another young man from Nepal right here that came from Nepal a couple of years ago to Harvest Deaf College looking for an opportunity to train, make money in America. And God marvelously saved his soul. Now he's going to take the gospel back to Nepal where there's never been a missionary to the deaf. Amen. I had two or three independent Baptist preachers say to me one time, said, Brother Glenn, look, seriously, these people, they've never heard. Surely you don't believe God's going to hold them accountable. I said, just as surely as God can't lie, he is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what God said. And the wages of sin is death, whether you can hear or not, whether you can see or not, whether you can walk or not. I'm firmly convinced that this is one of the greatest needs in our country, to support a people that's given everything they've got to see to it that this group of people hears. And I'm all for going into the rest of the world. We support 34 missionaries out of our church. We've sent several missionaries out of our church on foreign fields that are reaching the hearing and the deaf. But some of those are deaf men reaching deaf men. So we have the same philosophy, but I don't believe we should split that philosophy or do away with it right here in our own home chores. That's my presentation, and I'll get on into preaching now. Amen. I want you to understand that these folk need your prayer. All you pastors that are here, it will enable you and your church to get a better and clearer understanding of this need. And that's why I go about trying my best to impress upon you with straightforwardness and even bluntness to try to deliver this message that it might stick. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a very lovely passage of Scripture that will go well with the song sang this morning by that marvelous singing and a wonderful group of Christian people, I believe. And I've got to be fairly quick. My wife and I are going to need to leave here shortly this morning. Got to be at another meeting this evening at 5 o'clock and over in Indiana. So I trust you pray for us as we travel. And we'll certainly be praying for Brother Kenan Roark. That's a sweet and lovely saint of God if there ever was one. I love him. And he has a tremendous love for the men of God and the people of God. I learned to love him about 13, 14 years ago when Brother Durbin was pastoring down in Florida. And I've never forgotten him since. Matter of fact, we all loved his preaching better than Brother Durbin's. Amen. We love you, Brother Durbin. I'd tell y'all some truths on him, but I don't have time for foolishness this morning. Read with me, if you would, on verse 13 through 16, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and there's a purpose behind this morning. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord Jesus shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, if you go on into continually reading there, verse 5, and you go on up into verse 11, you'll see these words, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And I believe, brother, this is a message that needs to be preached probably more frequently than is being preached along these lines. For the day in which we live, it's nobody as surprised or even taken off guard that we're living in the end time. These things that are going on right here in America, I never dreamed would occur in my lifetime. I suspected that maybe my children or grandchildren might endure, but there's fixing to be some serious affliction of you believers. You preachers keep on preaching what you've been preaching, and if you live another 10 years, you will be in a jailhouse. Trust me, it's coming. There's a scheme that's running quick and fast right now to shut your mouth about the things of God. Well, praise God, it's here. We need this day to come. Our Lord's coming, amen. I believe that trumpet's about to sound. Lord, help us here this morning. I have a short time that I want to try to deliver some encouragement and some comfort and try to exhort my brethren in the Lord to be encouraged that the things that are going on are simply a transition period for us, so to speak, Lord. And we need not be worried over it. We need not fret over it. While we can be upset because it's wicked, it's against God, it's a debauchery and an insult and a mockery, Lord, we remember what you said. God's not mocked. And Lord, you're our God, and we know that you're going to fulfill the promise of your return to catch us up and take us home. And this we look forward to, and we trust you to bless us as we try to encourage this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of people that's looking for Jesus, my friend, today, and this is sad. It really is sad. There's a lot of people that's looking for Jesus, but the problem is they're not going to see Jesus. It's going to be the Antichrist that catches them. And they're going to be expecting that He is the Savior. Many people are trying to usher in. When you hear people praying, I'm talking about in our ranks we hear this kind of praying. They're trying to usher in the kingdom here on earth. My friend, nothing can be farther from the truth. I hear somebody pray, Lord, help this offering that we might further Thy kingdom on this earth. Let me tell you, my goal and your goal, if we're in line with the teaching of the Scriptures, is not to establish a kingdom on this earth. That's leave that to kingdom all. My friend, there are many. It's not just the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons preaching false doctrine today. There's many that many of our Baptist brethren want to rub shoulders with. They want to sit on the platform with. They don't want to say no. They don't want to stand up on doctrine. We might offend someone. Listen, brother, the biggest movement here in the last few years is, and some of you might get your little feelings hurt here, but I'm going to go on with it if you don't mind. The biggest movement supporting some of this Antichrist religion is the Pat PTL Club, the Pat Robertson Group, to support him. Here's what he said. Now, I wouldn't bring his name up if I didn't have some facts and writings to back it up with, okay? I'm bad about speaking out against men I believe are false prophets. And I don't mind calling their name, but when I do, I'm going to give you something to back it up. You don't have to trust me. And you need to go and look what they say versus what the Word of God says. Then you can determine in your own heart and mind, this man is a false prophet. All right, let's look at something right here. If you read the book that Pat Robertson and Jamie Buckingham wrote, Shout It From the Housetop, on page 231, you'll find where he said that CBN will be the instrument through which God will usher in the coming of His Son. Huh? Come on now. Robertson, along with others, stated that a major goal of CBN is to work for the establishing of Jesus Christ's kingdom here on earth. CBN supporters have been urged to support its television station in the Middle East because that is the station that will broadcast or televise the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, come on. He's really got a vision, hey? Them tacos went sour on him somewhere. And we are told that when every eye shall see him, that means on television, His television broadcast. Now, you can believe what you like. That's up to you. I have no control over anybody else. But listen, we haven't studied and rightly divided the Word of Truth. And I do believe in dispensationalism. I do believe there are different dispensations through the Scriptures. And when you start studying prophecy and you start studying the Revelation, and I like to read behind what I believe are trustworthy authors and men that stand on the old book, not willing to compromise it, even for modernist and liberal's sake, to be getting along with the brethren. I believe you stand on some things even to the death. If I'm going to stand on anything, it has to be that which God honored above His own name, David said. So here it is. We need to look into the Word of God and look and read behind good men of God. Nothing wrong with that, brother. I love to read about behind some of these good men. But after all my reading, after all my studying and all the discussions I ever done, I'm convinced that we don't know all we think we know about the second coming of the Lord. Now, I know that don't hold true for Brother Durbin and a couple others, but we ourselves don't have it all down. Huh? I'm so itching to tell you about Brother Durbin and Brother Houghton and their college days, but I don't have time. See me afterwards and I'll explain that to you. It's a wonderful story. Listen, friends. There's a book written by an author, another one, and y'all, some of you might remember it, and the name of the book is March, M-A-R-C-H. And he claimed that the book of Psalms revealed the 20th century, actually, starting with 1901. That was a revelation of chapter 19, chapter 1 of Psalm was a revelation of 1901, and Psalm chapter 2 was a revelation of Psalm chapter 2 was a revelation of 1902, and et cetera, right on. Problem with that is when he got to Psalms chapter 88, now he wrote this before 88, he had a real problem. There was the chapter 88 was a sound a whole lot like the tribulation period. And when he got up to 88 and all these things weren't according, what happened, there was mass confusion in several groups of people because they trusted that this is what God's Word was actually teaching. You see, what I'm trying to say is this morning, the Word of God is clear. I don't know all I think I probably do on the subject of Christ's return, but this I do know absolute for certain, He is coming. And there's signs, He said, that you can know that it is near. I believe, like some preacher said here a while back, said if we knew exactly how close it was, it would put us all in shock. I believe He is that close, don't you, Fred? I've been hearing that for 50-something years. But I'm going to tell you what, 50-something years ago, it wasn't like it is today. Man, we had it made, didn't we? Didn't even know it. This is a wicked world for our children to live in. I'm glad He's coming. Listen, there is only one solution to this matter, and it's not fear of what's going on. It's not fear of Obamanomics. It's not fear of the Russians. It's not fear of the Iranians. It's not fear of the North Koreans. There's one solution here, and if you're here today and got religion, you need to shuck it. Get shut of it. If you're here and don't have religion, you don't need to worry about getting any. Jesus Christ has done a work that you can never do. I sometimes get in a little bit of trouble on statements like this, but I don't believe there's absolutely one thing a man can do that would merit the favor and would enable him to appease God so to the point that God would save his soul. I don't believe you can clean up, get up, get strong enough or knowledgeable enough. I don't think there's enough a man can do. When my righteousness on its best day is filthy rags, how can I appease a holy God? How is that possible? Would you tell me? I must come naked before Him with nothing. And my friend, the only solution to this problem we're facing in America and the rest of the world is we must know that we're born again. That knowledge comes by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift. Receive it from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been purchased and paid for. It's free. Now listen, Jesus is going to return. There's no two ways about it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. This same Jesus who was born of a virgin is coming back. This same Jesus who calmed the raging storm, He's coming back. This same Jesus who fed the 5,000, He's the same one that's coming back. That same Jesus who left this earth in bodily form, sits at the right hand of the Father, He is coming back. Yeah. Amen. Yes. He's coming back. I'll give you a little illustration here about infidel who approached Fanny Crosby one time. He said, "Listen, Fanny," he said, "how are you, an old blind woman, going to know Jesus when you come into His presence, should He ever come back?" And Fanny Crosby went to her room that night and given a great deal of thought to that question, and she wrote a beautiful hymn, and it was this hymn, "I shall know Him." Amen. "I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Hey, I shall know Him as He is." Amen. Jesus is going to come, friend. And when He comes, He's going to take and catch us out of here. Now, there's a lot of people thinking possibly that there's going to be a stirring. There's going to be some commotion. There's going to be some kind of last-minute warning about the return of Christ. I got news for you. See, when that trumpet sounds, the dead and Christ's going to rise first. And then we which remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
facts. But here's the problem with any thinking, any notion. I have been guilty. Listen, friend, I've worked in the oil fields. I've traveled the roads a whole lot looking into that eastern sun as it rose up over the horizon there. And then I'd see a little cloud, strange-looking cloud off. Anybody else done that? I said, maybe that's it. Maybe that's him. No, it's not going to work like that, friend. Here's why. Let me explain. You see, the blink of an eye is a long time compared to a twinkle. You know what a twinkle is? I got a young man right there that just got married about 2.5 months ago. When he sees his little darling bride and he's him, there's a little sparkle that takes place. It's much quicker than a blink. See, when I see my darling, for 39 years almost, I've been loving her. She's been tolerating me. But I get a twinkle in my eye when I've been away from my... You see, a twinkle is a very quick thing. It's not the blinking of an eye. It's a flash. It's gone and just a... It's here and there, just that quick. For someone to think that they're going to have an opportunity at the last minute to make a decision is a foolish thought. I believe somebody last night, either Brother Broughton or that young man preached yesterday evening, made a statement about there's going to be no time. God does not offer you time and time on end, on end, on end. There will come a time His Spirit, He said, will not always strive with you. Today is the day of salvation. We need to take care of it today. That's your own guarantee against the problems and trials and tribulations that are coming because after Jesus comes and takes us out of here. I'll give this and skip over a whole lot of this. I'm taking up other people's time, but I want to give you a little story here and we'll be done. In Jude 14, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." Revelation 19:14, "And the enemies which were in the armies which were in heaven followed Him." And when He comes back to the earth, we're going to face the enemy. You see, we're going to have China, we're going to have Russia, we're going to have Iran, we're going to have all these people against Israel, and we're going to have all of them, and probably Obama and our nation too, be in part with them. The way we're headed, at least at this day, is the way they want to go. And they're going to all come against Him. You know, all this cursing and mocking and reproach you hear from the rest of the world toward Christ, it's all coming to end. As I said in the beginning, God is not mocked. Mm-mm. No, you think they think they're doing some mocking. They think their persecution may be getting them somewhere. But here's how it's going to go. We're going to return with Him after we're taken out of here all of a sudden. We're going to return with Him, and by the power of His Word, they're defeated. It's no match. It's no competition. Nothing fixing to come on. Listen, our Lord's coming again, and you can be at rest on it. Believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we've got a day of coming that can be unmatched by no other event. We got a person coming that can be matched by no other person. Listen here, when we see these young men and women getting married here, and all these women get all goosebumps and stuff, here comes the bride. Let me tell you something, when we're raptured and took out of here, there's going to be another song sung. Here comes the groom. Behold the Lamb of God. My friend, He's going to be taking us out of here. Y'all can look forward to that. We've got something to be happy about. We've got something to shout about. We've got something to be encouraged about. We do not have to live in a state of doom and gloom. The greatest hope this world's ever known lives in mine and your heart. Amen. Dr. R.G. Lee, mother, and he were on an old farm there in the farmland in which they grew up. And they were so poor, R.G. Lee said it this way, we couldn't even raise an umbrella, let alone a crop. And Dr. Lee said one day while they was sitting around there, just him and his mama, everybody else was gone, it was during the Civil War, said, was sitting in a rocker on the old porch and his mama was knitting.
And Dr. Lee said, as a little boy laying there, he started thinking and he asked his mama, he said, "Mama, what's the happiest day you ever known?" He said, "I thought she'd talk about the love of her heart, his father." He said, "No, she didn't talk about that." She said, "I thought maybe she'd mention the time when my father proposed to her, some lovely, exciting moment in her own life." She said, "No, she didn't tell that story either." She said, "I thought she might talk about the time when her children were being born and their little families." I said, "No, she didn't talk about it either." She said, looked over there and said, "Son, I'm going to tell you what. Said, you've asked a very hard question. Said, I'm going to tell you what I believe is the happiest moment in our life. Said, we was raised up in where our salt come from the smokehouse floors." Anybody been raised on a farm where you treated and cured hams and turkeys and so on? You know what I'm talking about. And we also had sassafras tea. From sassafras leaves, and our coffee actually come from grains of corn. We were really poor. And said, he looked over and saw his mama's old, tall, broken, dried hands, because all the men had went off to war. The women did all the farm work, and it was hard days. And then we're all away. The women were working in the fields. His daddy was gone, and they got news daddy had been killed. And that's all they knew, had no more details to it. And mother didn't cry much, he said, during the day, but every night he could go to sleep hearing mama cry. And one day while they were sitting on the porch, the old river house there, they were looking down the road, and mama had a lap full of beans, and she was shelling them and snapping them on their lap. And she looked over to her, which was R.G. Lee's mama, Elizabeth, and she said, "Elizabeth, who's that man I see walking down there?" Said, "Looks somewhat like your daddy." And she looked back down. She began working again. She glanced back up. And she looked up and says, "Lisbeth, he walks somewhat like your daddy." Said she went back to work. And she looked and saw him cut across the cotton patch. The one right out there next to the house. About a 30-acre cotton patch. And says, "Lisbeth, I believe that is your daddy." So she looked back down and she started doing the work again. She looked back up as he got close and she jumped, throwed them peas up and said, "Elizabeth, that is your daddy." And said his mama was a little girl. Said her mama took off and she met him and they were hugging. And yes, you know, it was one of the most rejoiceful reunions you could explain or imagine. Said she is a little girl right down there. And while they were hugging and carrying on, she noticed one old empty sleeve hanging there. And said she run her little old girlish hand up in that sleeve and felt that old nubby arm and thought, "Now this is the happiest day of my life." I'm going to tell you something, my brothers and sisters in Christ. There's coming a day when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace, I'll no longer look on by faith. I'll look on by sight. I'll place this old hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. There will be no doubt. That will be the happiest day of my life. Father, I thank You for the privilege of speaking to my sweet brothers and sisters in Christ. I trust, Lord, that by some means or some way we've helped encourage them to look to Thee, the promiser whose promises cannot be broken, the Savior whose love was far greater than any sin that we might ever commit, and who so lovingly and kindly and mercifully saved our sinful souls. We look for the day of Thy promised return, and we know, Father, it is extremely near. We trust You to bless us, help us to spread this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ to every creature, for every being in the entire world, that they may know there is a God who has loved them so that He would send His darling Son and forgive them of their sin and give them for free the gift of eternal life. Oh, Father, we love Thee and we thank Thee for Thy precious promises. In Jesus' name, amen.